Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Knit to Stay Sane podcast. Episode 1 saw me manage to get technology to work for me in as much as I could put a file up online so that you could download it and listen. But I'm sure people don't really want to do that. So I'm going to see if I can't make them stream at some point. So anywho, it is Saturday the 18th of January. I'm out walking the dog, so I hope... I've got my microphone tucked inside my cowl, so I hope there won't be too much wind noise. If there is, I'll just have to record again and see how it goes. The crunchiness is obviously gravel underneath my feet. And there might be occasional screaming as I shout at the dog. Week in review. I've been at work this week, so there's not a lot been happening that's remarkable. I decided yet again the beginning of the year that this is going to be the year that I actually lose some weight. So I've been doing Atkins all week. I've done Atkins before. I've got on okay with it. I find it an expensive way to lose weight, to be honest. Meat's not the cheapest form of sustenance in the world, is it? But I felt absolutely dire all week. I've had migraines, I've had headaches. So last night I actually did have some carbs because I've been quite strict with myself, really. I've really only eaten protein and salad all week. I felt truly abysmal. So I think I'm going to have to review that because I've got 4 stone to lose, and I really can't abide the idea of feeling that way for the next 4 stone off. So I'll have another think. I've done other diets. I've pretty much done them all. So I think I'm just going to kind of mush them all together and do what feels good. Eat less and move more. Isn't that the way they always say to do it? So that's what I'm going to try and do anyway. Eat less, move more. And to that end, I'm out walking the dog. Knitting-wise, I've been monogamous this week, really. I mentioned that I was going to cast on another sock in my blog last week. And I've got 2 skeins of... rainbow sock yarn from a couple of the ladies at the Wool Clip. The Wool Clip is a cooperative out in a village called Colbeck in Cumbria. It's a group of ladies who have clubbed together and run a shop. And in this shop, they each sell their own wares, and they're all fibre-based. There's ladies who dye, there's ladies who design, there's ladies who do felting and buttons and all sorts of beautiful fibery goodness. They also organise Woolfest, which is the original, really, fibre festival and wool festival in England. And it's held in Cockermouth every year in June. So they organise that. And last time I was at Woolfest, I think, I bought 2 skein of Jan and Cecilia's rainbow wool sock wool. It's BFL. I'm out walking the dog, as I say, so I haven't got the tag with me. I don't think there's any nylon in it. I think it is pure BFL. And it's kind of... dusty lilacs and vibrant cerise and the odd shot of almost like a dark blue. But the predominant colour is its purples. And I've tried knitting this yarn twice now. I tried it with a Gangsy pattern from a Stitch Dictionary, and I just could not see the Gangsy pop. Obviously, I think you need a solid colour for it. So I ripped that out and started again. I think I tried a shawl with it as well. Again, I wasn't feeling it. So I decided I was going to design a sock of my own. I fancied a little bit of lace, but I didn't want anything that was too complicated, really. I want to be able to knit it and not think, but to have enough interest in it such that I'm not bored. Because, you know, vanilla socks are all well and good when you've got an interesting colourway going on, like self-striping or a really bold variegated colour. But this one, it's quite gentle, really. The pops of colour in it are quite subtle. So I've found, again in a Stitch Dictionary, another a lace pattern. So I started knitting that sock. I'm actually really pleased the way it's turning out. It's just a two-row repeat, and 9 stitches to each repeat. So after a couple of rows, you pretty much got it nailed. So I'm whipping through that. It's cuff down, and I always use now the Fish Lips Kiss heel on my socks because they just fit my feet perfectly. And for £1, well, no, actually, no, it's $1, so it's, what, 60p, something like that? It has to be the best 60p I have ever spent, because not only do you get a cracking heel. Come here, Murph. Come on. Good lad, come here. A really, really good heel that's a doddle to do. Wait. You also get a recipe for socks that is foolproof. If you do what socks therapist tells you to do, the preparation before you actually knit the sock, making a template of your own foot, you'll never ever get a sock that doesn't fit. And if you knit socks for other people, and you know who those other people are, you know, and you have access to their foot wants, you will also make socks for them that will never ever go wrong. I'm a big fan of knitting socks for Christmas. But my relatives live away from me, so don't often get the opportunity to be with them, especially when I need to be measuring foot lengths and whatnot. So, yeah, I use the Fish Lips Kiss heel now. So my pattern I'm going to write up, it will be free on Ravelry because I'm not doing any sizing. It'll fit, I would say, a medium. So that's more, yeah, it's a medium size woman's foot. It's a 72 row stitch count. And I think medium to large, I suppose. And it's got a bit of give as well with it being a lace pattern. It does have a bit of stretch to it. So it does have a bit of opportunity for different sizing. So I'll be putting that up and I'm knitting it with the advice to go buy. Spend that dollar or 60p, go buy the Fish Lips Kiss heel, you won't regret it. But obviously, for the sake of completeness, I'm also going to put in a short row heel just because I'm not going to charge for this pattern. So, the Fish Lips Kiss heel is essentially a type of short row heel. So, the pattern is easy to knit either way with a generic short row or the Fish Lips Kiss heel. I did think about putting the option of a gusset heel in, heel flap and gusset heel, and then I thought, well, if I do that, I'm going to charge for it, and I thought, no, I want to get this pattern up. So it's going to be free with a direction for the Fish Lips Kiss heel or a short row heel that I'll put in, just like a generic short row heel. So that's pretty much what I've been doing this week, crafting wise. One evening I thought to myself, oh, do you know what? I think I'm going to spin. So I set about, I got my wheel out, and then my son Ben, who's 10, says, oh, Mum, can I spin on the wheel? I was like, oh, right, okay. So I took my bobbin off and put his bobbin on. He's had a braid of sky blue merino, I think it is. And it's been on the bobbin for, I would say, 18 months now. No, that's a lie. A year. It's been a year it's been on the wheel. And he'll go to it and he gets frustrated by it. And then he goes away from it and he goes to it. And, you know, so it goes on. So he wanted to go. So he's now got a bit more barf added to the bobbin. Yeah, bless him. His hand-eye coordination, I would say, really isn't great. He's got a spindle of fibre on the go as well, and I did say to him he needs to master drafting on the spindle first, but he just wants, he sees what I do and he wants to do that. He's one of these kids, I suppose it's a side effect of the age, it's like instant gratification he wants. He doesn't want to have to go through the trying and failing and trying something different and making different mistakes and then getting the end product that you're after. He doesn't want to do that, he just wants to make yarn now. So anyway, so that was my evening spinning, kind of nobbled by supervising the child. So this weekend we've borrowed Ben's best mate Charlie, who's over to stay. So they're off killing things on computers and I'm out walking the dog. I've been baking today. I've baked cupcakes and a chocolate birthday cake for Charlie. It was his birthday on Wednesday, so I said I'd bake him a cake. So that's what I've done today. All my jobs that I should have done today, I haven't. You know, housework, blah. Boring. Didn't want to do that, so I haven't. How bad's that? But it'll still be there for me to do tomorrow. I'm looking at the rat cage thinking I should clean that out, but that'll do tomorrow. And the hoovering then can't be done until I've cleaned the rats out tomorrow. And the dusting might as well not have happened unless I've hoovered first, after even. So, while I'm walking the dog, something exciting is happening at home. Exciting it is. I have signed up for Mel's Watch Like You Mean It class. Mel is single-handed knits on Ravelry. She has the single-handed knits podcast. And if you go and look over on her Ravelry group, you'll find the Swatch Like You Mean It thread. And it's, I think, is it a six-week class with PDFs and interactive goodness? And she's given us a list of things to gather for the class. And one of those things is dishcloth cotton. Now, dishcloth cotton is not something I have. I don't do dishcloths. The idea of washing dishes with something I've knitted makes my blood run cold, quite frankly. So I don't have cotton. I don't like working with cotton, really. I find it hurts my fingers. So I went online to Derrimores, something like that, I think it is. I don't know how you pronounce it. But it's an online knitting shop, which has really good deals, actually. They always have a discount on something at some point. And I went and bought 600-gram balls of a generic craft cotton that says on it, good for dishcloths. So I bought six of those. But the only snag was, they didn't say how much yardage you needed. And Mel said that we needed, I think, did she say 600 yards of dishcloth cotton? Maybe 400 yards. I can't quite remember. And of course, there's no yardage on these balls. And I thought, oh, flipping heck. So I thought, right, I'll buy six balls. I think they were maybe £1.50 a ball. And are just a generic ecru cream undyed colour. And I thought, well, if push comes to shove, I can make something with them, with what's left. So I bought six of these balls. Come on, Murph. Wait, come on. So I bought six. I also bought, finally, the yarn to make my Hallelujah cardigan that Mel's designed as well. So the Hallelujah, originally I wanted to buy an undyed four-ply sock yarn and then dye it myself. That was my plan. But I can't find a source at the minute of undyed sock yarn that's not stupidly expensive. Because for me, undyed yarn should have a nominal value, and the expense comes in when an artisan comes along and adds their colour, their design, their heart and soul into making it look beautiful, right? So I don't really want to be spending £10 for 100 grams of sock yarn when I'm going to have to then spend another, four, I don't know, however much money, putting colour on it and time. So anywho, but Derrimore's had an offer on, and I bought some really nice four ply. It's Serdar Country Style, and it's got wool. It's a wool acrylic blend, because I'm a big girl, and when it comes to knitting garments for me, I can easily get into the hundreds of pounds because, you know, you need significant yardage. And I thought, well, I'm trying to lose weight, but I want Hallelujah now. You know, instant gratification. I wonder where Ben gets it from. So I thought to myself, I won't spend the money on ridiculously expensive yarn. I'll buy a reasonable yarn. So I did. And I bought the colour Stonecrop, I think it's called. And it was on the website, on the screen, it looked like a very grey blue. When it's come, it's more of a blue-grey. It's a bit bluer than I wanted. So now I'm thinking, well, I know, I will over-dye it. Ha-ha. So that's my plan. I'm back to the story that was, oh gosh, probably about 5 minutes ago now. At home, as I walk the dog, I have my 6 balls of ecru cotton skeined and soaking in a bath of salt water, because I have decided I'm going to dye them, because I think I'm wanting, I mean, I don't know what Mel's plans are for this, but I want to have some yarn that I'm excited to knit. Swatching for me is something that you do because you have to, and then 9 times out of 10 I don't do it because I think it's a waste of yarn. And then I wonder why things don't fit and I'm really disappointed at the end of the project. But anywho, so in an effort to spice up swatching, I've decided to dye it. Obviously, with it being a cotton, 100% cotton, the acid base dyes that I've got at home for dyeing wool aren't going to work. So I've got Dylon cold dyes. Originally, what I was looking for are the little circular blocks of dye. But I couldn't find those in Penrith, my local town, for love nor money. And again, instant gratification, I want to do it now. And the only ones I could find were sachets of what I assume is powdered dye inside. But I've bought 3 colours. I've bought a dark green, I've bought a navy blue, and I've bought jeans blue. So, my plan, please let it work and not let me wind up with just a kind of browny dark goop. My plan is to use each dye in succession. So I'm going to kettle dye them. The skeins I have twisted very, very, very tightly. There is almost no space for the yarn to move within the skein. So my thought process is that I'm going to go from lightest to darkest. I'm going to go for the jeans blue first. So I'll put all the skeins in the jeans blue. And then when that dye bath is exhausted, I'll take the skeins out, unravel them, twist them back up again in a different way, so that different parts of the skein are exposed. Go for probably the green. Again, wait for that to be exhausted, undo it, do it up again, and then go finally for the navy blue. Whether or not I do go for that navy blue in the finish kind of depends on how much of a disaster the first two dyes go. If the jeans blue takes consistently right the way through, then, well, I might try the dark blue and see if I can get a bit of tonal change within the yarn. But we'll see how that goes. I had taken pictures of the yarn as it was soaking, and what I'll do is I'll continue to take pictures as I go through the dyeing process, and I'll write that up on the blog tomorrow. So on the crafting front, it's been kind of uneventful, really. I've got nothing really exciting to show for the week, because I've knit a whole sock nearly. I'm yomping down towards the toe of my new design. But I think, to be honest, feeling so miserable has really put paid to my knitting. I don't feel like I've made much progress. But still, I've turned back now, so I'm hoping the wind noise isn't too bad. So next week I'll probably be working on the second sock of my design, so I can photograph them when they're finished and get the design up. You never know, with some good luck and a following wind, I might manage to get some spinning done. Ben has complained about the fact that his socks aren't much further on than they were last week, so they need done. And you know, we're not that far off being being the end of January, beginning of February, and my cowl, which is running January, February, is halfway through nearly, and I have got an inch done on the peacock shawl, so I really need to get my finger around and do something about that as well. So, lots to do. I'm at work next week, so how much time I get to do work is anybody's guess. Well, how much time I get to do knitting, rather, is anybody's guess. But the week after that, I'm off. And the boys are at school, so I'll have lots of home time, I hope. I'm having my hair coloured. Woohoo! And I'm also going to a friend's to have a dyeing session, a dyeing tuition. She's expert dyer. She uses lots of natural dyes as well. So I'm quite excited to go and extract all her knowledge. So hopefully all will be well and you'll have a good week crafting, and I'll speak to you next week, and I will write to you tomorrow. Bye.